الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. We would like to welcome all for coming to this program. الحمد لله الله سبحانه وتعالى has allowed us to benefit from the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the message of his own kalam, his own speech, in a place thousands of miles away from where the initial revelation had begun. And alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala not just allows us to benefit from His words and the words of His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but He teaches us, He allows us to love and listen and benefit from these words to those people who love the kalam of Allah and the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in particular the ulama. So to begin tonight's program, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in the Ahsan al-Hadith Kitabullah, the greatest of speech is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would like to request one of our HIPS students who has completed 11 juzus of the Quran, Muhammad Ta'im, to come and recite some portions of the Quran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna fi khalqi as-samawati wal-ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan-nahari la-ayatin li-ulil al-albab. الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا على جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار ربنا إنك من تدخل النار فقد أخزيته وما للظالمين من أنصار ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد فاستجاب لهم ربهم أني لا أضيع عمل عامل منكم من ذكر أو أنثى بعضكم من بعض فالذين هاجروا وأخرجوا من ديارهم وأوذوا في سبيلي وقاتلوا وقتلوا لأكفرن عنهم سيئاتهم ولأدخلنهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ثوابا من عند الله والله عنده حسن الثواب صدق الله العظيم.
ما شاء الله جزاكم الله خير. محمد زعيم. إليك دعاء الله تعالى allows you to complete your hips with afia. The ulama hold a very high status in the deen of Islam. Allah Ta'ala himself emphasizes the virtue of knowledge of ilm in the Quran. In one place Allah Ta'ala says, يُؤْتِي الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That Allah Ta'ala grants hikmah to whomever he wants, a great vast treasure known as hikmah. Amongst the interpretations for hikmah here is fiqh, a deep understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يُؤْتَى الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. And whoever is given this hikmah, whoever is given this deep understanding of the deen, has been given a great treasure. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الْعُلَمَاءُ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ. The most intelligent of people in existence have always been the anbiya alayhi salam. The greatest of geniuses have always been the anbiya, and the inheritors of that genius are the ulama. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala writes that the ulama have more affection and more love for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than do parents for their own children. He says that the ulama have more affection for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than parents do their own children. How? Because the parents, when it comes to the protection and the guardianship of their own children, Mainly, predominantly, they're only worried about the fire of this dunya and the pains and trials of this dunya. Whereas the ulama, when they look at their children, and the ulama don't only look at their own children, they look at the entirety of the Muslim ummah. And they're looking at the entirety of the Muslim ummah until the day of Qiyamah. And their faith is not just protection in this dunya, but protection in the life hereafter as well, for all of eternity. So from that perspective, the ulama have more affection for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than their parents and their own, for their own children. So alhamdulillah, we have amongst us many ulama. In particular, we have a great alim from New York in our presence, Mufti Faisal Saab, Abdul Wahab, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. Just a little introduction to who Mufti Saab is. Mufti Saab had graduated many years ago from Darul Uloom Azadville in South Africa. Not only was he able to complete his alim course there, wherein he was able to study amongst many of the great ulama, muhaddithin, mashayikh, such as Hazrat Mawla Fadlur Rahman Saab Al-Adhani, Hafidhahullah, and Hazrat Mawla Abdul Hamid Saab Ishaq, Hafidhahullah. But he was also able to complete the qira'at study of the qira'at of the Qur'an, of Ashara Sughra, of the qira'at, the many ways to recite the Qur'an, under the tutelage of Qari Ismail Ishaq Saab, Rahimahullah Ta'ala. And thereafter, he was also able to complete his iftah studies, his iftah training, in that same madrasa, under the tutelage of one of the big muftiyan of our time, Hazrat Mufti Sa'id Mutawar Saab, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. And currently, Mufti Saab is an ustad, a teacher, an instructor at a very reputable madrasa in New York known as Darul Quran was Sunnah, where I myself also graduated from that madrasa. And I was also honored to be able to study under Mufti Saab. He's one of my asatida, one of my teachers. We had the honor of studying Aqidah and Usul Fiqh under him. And he was influential to us. And all many students are presently here. They will all tell you that one of our most influential figures in our lives was Mufti Faisal Saab, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. We would like to request Mufti Saab to come and address us on the topic on the exemplary model in the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah. Wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. I'm just full of emotions just being in a madrasa setting in a place like Darul Uloom. Sometimes we don't realize what a great place this is. A place, a Darul Uloom, it is a place where the hifazat of deen takes place. The protection of deen takes place. The preservation of deen takes place. Darul Uloom is a place where the isha'at of deen takes place. The spreading of deen takes place. From institutions like this. So truly I am humbled to be sitting here in a dar room in front of this Mubarak gathering, in front of ulama, Mufti Shabir, Mufti Fatih, and all the other pious asatiza in the madrasa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our gathering, accept our coming, make it a means of, firstly, my hidayat and the hidayat of everyone. Respected elders, brothers, our mothers and sisters that are listening over the audio stream. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the most precious gift of iman. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the perfect teachings of the deen of Islam. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for honoring us to be a part of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are three very great blessings and bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded every single one of us. And we should always keep these three things in mind at all times, wherever we are, in whatever condition we may be in. We should always be conscious of this fact. Allah has blessed me with iman. Allah has blessed me with a perfect way of life like Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me to be a ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The value of iman is such, the hadith of Tirmizi, it comes, لا تقوم الساعة حتى لا يقال في الأرض الله الله. That the day of judgment will not come as long as there is a single person on the surface of this earth to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as there is a reciter of La ilaha illallah, a person with iman on the surface of this earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to cause this entire universe to keep running. This entire universe will stay in its system because of that iman that is in the heart of that individual. In the akhirat, on the day of judgment, the kuffar, the disbelievers who don't have iman, they will have one regret, one remorse, one grief. رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. That if only we had also accepted Islam. If only we had also become Muslims in the dunya. Then today, we would be in a better place. We would not be in this predicament and in this problem. It comes another place. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ مِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبًا وَلَوْ افْتَدَى بِهِ أُولَئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ. That those disbelievers who passed away in the state of kufr, no iman, on the day of judgment, when they will see what will be given to them and what is prepared for them, then they will try to negotiate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will try to negotiate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are prepared to give you the entire earth filled with gold and double that also as in ransom, but save me and save us from the fire of Jahannam. But then it's too late. فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. It will not be accepted at that time. Not only wealth, but they will be even prepared to sacrifice and give in their place their own family members, their own blood, their own children, their own parents, just to save themselves. So this will be the situation of that person who did not have iman in this world. So understand and appreciate the value of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us Islam. In the Quran, Allah says, "Inna dina indallahi al-Islam." That Islam is the only accepted way of life in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no other religion, no other ism, no other mentality, no other culture, no other ideology, no other deen that is acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us by making us the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It comes in a riwayat that even though we were the last to come to this world, the last ummah and the last nation to come to this world, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this ummah the special honor of entering Jannah first. نَحْنُ الْآخِرُونَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْأَوَّلُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And this is due to the status and the honor and the rank of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In reality, there is no language, no words that can do justice to the honor and the status and the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no tongue that is eloquent enough to do justice to the shan and the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no intellect that can fully comprehend and grasp and understand the status and the high maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu puts very beautifully, مَا إِن مَدَحْتُ مُحَمَّدًا بِمُقَالَتِي وَلَكِن مَدَحْتُ مَقَالَتِي بِمُحَمَّدٍ. He says that my poetry, my words, my ash'ar, my discourse can do no justice in praising Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What can my weak, feeble words do when it comes to the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Rather, the mention of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my kalam, it beautifies my kalam. The mention, the mere fact that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being mentioned in my kalam, in my discourse, in my poetry, my kalam became beautiful. My speech became beautiful. So that is the situation. But just so we can understand a little bit, and once we will understand a little bit, then perhaps we will be able to appreciate Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam more. The love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will increase in the heart. When the love will increase, then it becomes easier and we are encouraged and motivated to make amal and bring sunnah into the life. And when we will have complete sunnah in our life and we will live according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this person is successful. This person is successful in this dunya. This person will be successful in the qabr. And this person will be successful where it matters most, in the akhirah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept full success and complete success only in the way and in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for us to understand, let us look at some of the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, Khaliq and Malik, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself praises Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and mentions and highlights his maqam and his status. Ulama mentioned that we find there are many ayat in the Quran, but you can bring it down to 3 ayat of the Quran from which we can gauge the maqam and the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first ayah, or one of them, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ,
that we have elevated your mention. We have elevated your mention. We have raised your name. The ulama explain that from the many meanings, one meaning of this is that وَجَعَلْتُ إِسْمَكَ مَعَ إِسْمِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O Muhammad, I have placed your name with my name. I have placed your name and kept your name with my name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the King of all kings, Malikul Muluk, Rabbul Alameen, most powerful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved and the Habib, with his right after his. How? Hatta la uzkara illa zukirta ma'i. Such that every time the name of Allah azza wa jal is taken, together with that, the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will also be taken. And we find this in the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So the name of Allah, the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. Take the name of Allah, then immediately you're taking the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the azan, the name of Allah, then right after that, the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the azan is such that at any given time, somewhere, an azan is taking place. At any second, there is an azan taking place somewhere in the world. So that means 24/7, nonstop, on repeat, the name of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being mentioned and being taken on this earth. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرًا. And then another ayat, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O my Habib, we will give you so much, يُعْطِيكَ, we're going to give you so much, فَتَرْضَى, until you become pleased, until you become happy, you become راضي. Now we need to pause here for a moment and understand that the entire makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their objective and maqsad and objective is to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy and rabi. Our coming here today is solely to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. Our sitting here today is to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. Our praying salah together in jamaat is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the maqsad of every single person. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns it around and he says that, O my Habib, I want you to be happy. And will give you so much that you become happy. And then another ayat, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That we have not sent you, O Nabi of Allah, to this world, except as a means of mercy and rahmat, lil'alameen, not just one universe, alam, but the plural and the jama sigha is used, as many universes and alams there are that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been sent for all of them as a means of mercy. He wasn't sent just for one qawm, one nation. He was not sent just for one era, one zamana. He was not sent just for one land or one country. He was not sent just for a certain group of people or one language. Rather, he was sent lil'alameen, for all of the universes. The mankind, the jinn, the animal kingdom, the plant, universe, the creatures in the ocean, and everything else that the human intellect still hasn't even comprehended and understood, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a means of mercy and rahmat for all the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that the previous anbiya, Adam alayhi salam, Adam alayhi salam was sent to one nation. Shees alayhi salam was sent to one nation. Nuh alayhi salam was sent to one nation. Ibrahim alayhi salam was sent to one nation. Yaqub alayhi salam was sent to one nation. Musa alayhi salam was sent to one nation. Yahya alayhi salam was sent to one nation. Daniel alayhi salam was sent to one nation. Yusuf alayhi salam was sent to one nation. Ayyub alayhi salam was sent to one nation. Dawood alayhi salam was sent to one nation. Isa alayhi salam was sent to one nation. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam surpassed all the anbiya, and he was not sent to just one nation, but he was sent for all of mankind until the day of Qiyamah. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We find that the previous anbiya, they were also given scriptures and divine books and revelation. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reveal the Torah to Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam is told, go to Mount Tur, travel there, spend 40 days, and then wait, the wahi will come. Dawood alayhi salam, he is told that remain in your place of worship, in your ibadat gah, your place of worship. Wait and the wahi will come to you there. Remain and wait there. Isa alayhi salam is told, same thing. Stay in your mihrab, continue doing ibadat, injil, it will come to you. However, when it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes this entire system. Now what happens, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Makkah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the Quran and wahi down to Makkah. When the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Medina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends wahi to Medina wherever he is. When Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is traveling, doing the hijrah and migration, wahi comes there. When he is riding an animal, wahi is coming there. When he is in the marketplaces, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a revelation to him there. When he is climbing a mountain and on hilltop, wahi and revelation comes there to him. When he was in Badr, revelation went to Badr. When he was in Uhud, revelation went to Uhud. When he was in Tabuk, revelation went to Tabuk. When he was in during Ahzab and the Battle of Khandaq, revelation went there. To such an extent that when he was resting at home on the bed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send revelation there as well. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Respected brothers and elders, mankind, we are all in darkness, in dhulumat. We are all in spiritual darkness and dhulumat. And to remove this darkness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent nur and light to remove this spiritual darkness from mankind. One is, in the Quran Allah says, وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعَ, that follow and make ittaba of the nur which has been sent and revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, referring to the Quran. So the one nur is the Quran. And then وَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. Another nur, the second nur, is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. And we know that for the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a promise upon himself and the responsibility of protecting it. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. That we have sent the Quran down and we are going to protect it. Now, many times we limit this to just the huruf of the Quran or the alfaz of the Quran. But this protection is much broader than that. The ulama explain وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We are going to protect the pronunciation of the Quran. Tajweed, makharij. We are going to protect the huruf of the Quran. We are going to protect the alfaz of the Quran. We are going to protect the ayat of the Quran. We are going to protect the ma'ani, mafhum, and the tafsir of the Quran. We're going to protect the day of the Quran, the night of the Quran, the ahkam of the Quran, the constitution of the Quran. When Aisha radiallahu anha was once asked, that explain to us and tell us about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that how was he? Who was he? What was his life like? What was his akhlaq like? Now how can she, in just a few words, or then and there on the spot, possibly explain and describe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But she does it so eloquently in just a couple of words. And she says, Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. That you want to know what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like? Look at the Qur'an. He was a living, walking, talking embodiment of the Qur'an. Now coming to the point, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it upon himself to protect the Quran. Within that is also the protection of the seerat and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That every ada, every action, every fi'il from birth till the end, everything recorded, everything documented, everything preserved, which in and of itself is a miracle. It defies logic. Like Maulana Muaz was mentioning, that where revelation took place, thousands of miles away, the distance. Not only that, but more than 1400 years ago. But 1400 years later, today we are sitting here on the other side of the world talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seerat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This in itself is a miracle. Just look at us, ourselves. That how much we know about our parents. Maybe we know some information that we were taught and told. But what about our grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents? We don't know much. And that is the system of the dunya. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than 1400 years ago, we can tell you every single thing about his life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it upon himself to preserve and protect the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before we move on, remember once we were in Jamaat with our teachers in South Africa, and one of our ustad in the bayan, he was mentioning that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so close and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even makes mention of his body parts in the Quran. That his mention is scattered throughout the Quran, even the body parts of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alam nashrah laka sadrak, the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wawada'na anka wizrak, alladhi anqada dhahrak, the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wala tamuddanna aynayk, the eyes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكْ, the hand of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكْ, the tongue of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكْ, the قلب and the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُزَّمِّلِ, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّسِّرِ, the blanket and the shawl of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ, the Mubarak land of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, the night of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا, the day of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, the alamiyat and the universalness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, the risalat and the prophethood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. The ختم نبوة, the finality of the prophet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran. Then Maulana says, then finally the Quran brings it all together. The Quran brings it all together and says, La amruk, by the qasam of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, my beloved brothers and elders, we need to inculcate that love in the heart for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. That none of you can become a true mu'min and a true believer until I become more beloved to him than his own children, his own family, and all of mankind put together. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Allahu Akbar, they were true mistaq of this. They fulfilled this hadith to the T. Nonetheless, we move on to something a little bit different. And that is, you know, generally we hear a lot about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after prophethood and after wahi, after revelation. Today we would like to touch upon a little bit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before revelation, prior to the wahi. How much time we have? So for that, we look at a hadith of Bukhari where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives the very first wahi and revelation. And we all know that incident and story where Jibreel Amin comes, embraces Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asks him to read Iqra. And we know the story, but we're moving on to the next phase after that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then comes back home to Khadija radiallahu anha. And he says, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, Dassiruni, Dassiruni, that cover me up, cover me up. I'm feeling, لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. I'm afraid, I'm not feeling well, I was feeling feverish. And we have to understand that why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was feeling in this manner. Well, firstly, because this is now the very first time wahi and revelation has come to him. And revelation, it wasn't a simple thing. It wasn't a light thing. It had a lot of thiqal in it. It was very thaqeel and heavy. That's what we find in the Quran. لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلِ اللَّهِ رَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. That if the Quran were to be revealed on a mountain, then you would see it turn into bits and pieces. It would shatter to bits and pieces. Such is the ruhani power of the Quran. And that same Quran is being revealed into the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a delicate flesh, the body. So imagine the kayfiyat and the condition. We also find that even later on, this was the very first wahi, but whenever wahi would come, then Aisha radiallahu anha says that even if it was winter, cold, still we would see that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is perspiring and he is sweating because of the weight and the pressure and the weight of the wahi. Right? The Sahaba mentioned that when we were doing hijrah, then, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mounted on his camel, and suddenly the camel would just freeze. Can't move anymore. The knees are buckled. And then after some time, it just sits down. And we would understand that wahi is coming down. A camel is an animal that can carry a lot of load. It can carry a lot of weight. But it could not bear the weight of wahi. It couldn't move anymore. One Sahabi mentions that on one occasion, while we were traveling, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting his Mubarak head on my lap. And at that time, wahi was coming down. I felt like my knees were being crushed. So now understand, لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي زَمِّلُونِي زَمِّلُونِي دَسِّرُونِي دَسِّرُونِي. Right? That's one aspect. And then the other aspect the ulama explained is because that he understood that now he is he's been given a responsibility and a job, a very tremendous, huge task has come on his shoulders. And because of this responsibility and this task that has come on him, he is fearful and worried that will I be able to fulfill this task and this mission that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. So then Khadija radiallahu anha consoles him, says, Wallahi ma yukhzika Allah abada. That I know you for some time now, 10, 12, 15 years. I know you, I know how you are, what type of person you are. I can say very confidently that it is impossible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace you. It is impossible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will abandon you. It is impossible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ruin you. Can never happen. And I say this with much confidence. And then she starts explaining all his sifat, all his qualities, his attributes, how he was. And this was all prior to revelation and wahi. This is now that we're going to talk about when people still consider him to be a normal, common person like everyone else. Dawah hasn't started yet. But this was already the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمُ. That you're such a great person. You join family ties. You're a loving, caring family person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go out of his way to join family ties, maintain kinship, especially in those days in Jahiliyyah when we know that there would be so much of infighting, that one tribe did something to another tribe generations ago, but they're still fighting for that and they aren't talking to each other. Or father and son, no, they're not talking to each other. Brother and brother are not talking to each other. Why? Over simple, insignificant things. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the opposite. He would go out of his way and make sure he would maintain these family ties. To such an extent that the friends of those who were close to him, he would even give them hadiyah and gifts and maintain ties with them simply on the fact and the basis that they are the friends of my family. And that is a sunnah also. She says, وَتَصْدُقُ الْحَدِيثِ, that you are a very honest man. You never spoke a lie before in your life. You are honest, you are truthful. And we all know that he was called As-Sadiqul Amin by the Quraysh. Just to understand this, As-Sadiqul Amin, that now fast forward a little bit and Dawat has started, and we know the hostility against him from the Quraysh. They're calling him Sahir, they're calling him Majnoon, they're calling him a magician, they're calling him insane, an imposter, a liar, and causing so much of taklif and hardship and difficulty. But at the same time, they would still come with their gold and silver and ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that can we please leave this amanat by you? Because you're the only person that we can trust. So on one side, they are bad-mouthing him, but at the same time, they know that they can't trust anyone else. He's the most trustworthy person in the area, so they will still keep their things by him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, akhlaq, what can you say? He would accept, he would take it, he would look after it. It's like today for us to understand, you know, someone says, hey, you terrorist, but can you do me a favor, please? What would we do? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes it, looks after it. Now, again, fast forward a little bit to Hijrah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, time has come that he has to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah and has to head out. And remember that night, right, where now he is surrounded by all the leaders of Quraysh. And they are there with a very evil plan that we have to capture Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're not going to let him escape and leave. The Quran draws the picture very nicely. وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. that remember the time when the kuffar were there, surrounded your house? They want to either capture you, kill you, or exile you. His life was on the line. They even had a prize and a reward of 100 camels for whoever can bring the head of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So imagine how critical and sensitive that situation and that night was. At a time like that, at an urgent time like that, you and I, you know, we'll run to the airport and we'll leave our passports at home. Right? We'll dash to the car, but we forgot our wallet and keys at home because our life is on the line. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even at this time, he tells Ali radiallahu anhu that, oh Ali, that this belongs to that person. This goes to that person. This pouch here of gold goes to that person. Make sure, oh Ali, that you give this to that person. Even at a time like that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not forget about the amanat. And these are the amanat of who? The same people who, because of whom he has to leave. The same people who are there to kill him. The same people who are there to capture him. Their amanat. فَإِنَّ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَا كَانَ لِيَنْسَى عَنْ رَدِّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Even at that critical point, Nabi Sallallahu does not forget to return the amanat. As-Sadiqul Amin. She says, وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلِ. That you always help people, you carry the burden of others. You lighten the burden of others in all different ways, whether it's financially, whether it's physically. And the whole world knows that famous story where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam helps that elderly aged woman. And as they are walking, then she is not knowing that this person is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. She is bad-mouthing him that, oh my son, let me tell you, be careful. There's a man named Muhammad who's claiming to be a Nabi, and he's a magician, he's Majnoon, he's a liar, he's gonna destroy you, don't listen to him, stay far away from him, you're a nice person, I don't want you to be affected by him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is quietly listening, not saying anything, letting her speak. Finally, they get to the destination, and he offloads everything. And before he leaves, she asks, by the way, I didn't get your name. You're such a nice person. What's your name? And then he says that, oh, my mother, I am that Muhammad that you are talking about. And then she gets the shock of her life. And she says, if you are Muhammad, then it is impossible that you can be alive. If you claim to be the Nabi of Allah, then definitely you're the Nabi of Allah. If you claim that there's only one ilah, one Allah, then definitely there's only one ilah. And she takes the shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, she becomes a Muslim and brings iman then and there. Wa taksibul ma'doom. Khadija radiallahu anha then goes on to say, ajib quality, that those people who are unable to work, right? They were paralyzed, they were sick, elderly, whatever it may be, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would earn for them. Now just understand and think about that for a moment, where you apply for a job and you get a job and you're working 9 to 5, and at the end of the week when you get your paycheck, you take that paycheck and you go give it to that person. You are literally working for that person. Why? Because he's not able to work. Unheard of in the history of mankind. وَتَقْرِي الضَّيْفِ. And you have extreme hospitality. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very generous. That he did not have la and no in his dictionary. Whoever would come, whatever they would ask, he would always give something. And if he didn't have, then he would say, okay, fine, go and buy it on my name. I'll take care of it later. He would never say no. There's one incident where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing a garment that had holes and patches. So he was gifted a brand new shawl. He went home and he changed and he put that shawl on. Just a few minutes later, a sahabi goes up to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says that, oh Nabi of Allah, I like this shawl of yours. Can you please gift it to me? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, sure. He goes back in, he puts on the patch and the thing that he was wearing before, puts that on, takes off the new garment, and he gives it to that sahabi. And now he's very happy that I have the garment and the shawl of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the other sahaba now they're asking him, like, well, why did you do that? You know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't have anything else. And you knew that he's not going to say no to you. So then he says something interesting. He says, of course, I know that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would not refuse, but I wanted that shawl to keep it as my kafan. I wanted to use that shawl as my kafan. This was my only chance. This was my only opportunity. So I took the chance. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on one occasion, later on when Mali Ghanimat and the spoils of war would come and a lot of animals would come, then there was a Bedouin who was just amazed and mesmerized by looking at the flocks of sheep that's there between the valley. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam noticed that, you know, he's looking at it and he's probably interested. He says, "Atu'jibuka ma tara?" You like what you see? He says, yes, I've never seen so many animals in one place before. Go ahead, take it, it's all yours. Go ahead, take it, it's all yours. And then he says, "Ma tabat nafsu ahadin bihada illa nafsu nabiyin." That there's no person that can be this generous except the Nabi. And then he becomes a Muslim. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. And finally she says that you always support and encourage good. And these are qualities that I have witnessed myself. Therefore, I can say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never abandon you. And such tasalli and consolement she gave to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it didn't just stop there. She goes on further and she goes and takes him to Waraqa bin Nawfal, her cousin, who was very elderly, and in Jahiliyyah he was a Christian, a scholar amongst them. And then he explains, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains everything, and then he says, "Hadha an-namus alladhi nazzala ala Musa." That this is that angel that came upon Musa alayhi salam and all the anbiya of the past. You are a prophet, you're a Nabi. And then he says, but like all the previous Anbiya, they were kicked out and forced out of their homes by their own people. I am afraid that the same thing will happen to you. And he says that if I can live until that day, then definitely I will help you and support you. So Khadija radiallahu anha was very close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the beloved of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So much she helped him that later on, when Aisha radiallahu anha and the other wives would say that, why are you always talking about her? It was such a long time ago. Didn't Allah give you a better replacement? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say, no. Ma abdalani Allah azza wa jal khayran minha. Allah has not given me a better replacement. Qad amanat bi idh kafara bi an-nas. That she believed in me when everyone around me didn't believe in me. وَصَدَّقَتْنِي إِذْ كَذَّبَنِي النَّاسِ. And when everyone called me a liar, she was the first person to accept the message. She becomes the first Muslim and the first one to accept the message. وَوَاسَتْنِي بِمَالِهَا. She helped me financially. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave me children through her. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu mentions that he narrated from him that he says, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said on one occasion, Jibreel Amin comes and says that فَقْرَ عَلَيْهَا السَّلَامِ مِنْ رَبِّهَا وَمِنِّي. That, O Nabi of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is conveying salams to Khadija radiallahu anha. Convey the salams of Allah to Khadija radiallahu anha وَمِنِّي and from my side. Not only that, وَبَشِّرْهَا بِبَيْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ قَصَبٍ وَلَا صَخَبٍ فِيهِ وَلَا نَصَبٍ. And also give her the glad tidings of a palace in Jannah, which will be made from pearls and rubies and emeralds, in which there will be no chaos, no commotion, peace and peace. What a fortunate person she was. So this was the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even prior and before to wahi and revelation. And imagine what happened now after revelation. Imagine now when da'wat began. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a ruler of hearts, not like the kings and the rulers who were just rulers of the body. He would rule the heart. People would get affected by his akhlaq. And we know and we see that in the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So just a few more minutes, we conclude. That Umm Ma'bad says, لَهُ رُفَقَى يَحُفُّونَ بِهِ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had this, always he was surrounded by his companions. He was surrounded by his friends. And whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, إِنْ قَالَ إِسْتَمَعُوا لِقَوْلِهِ وَإِنْ أَمَرَ تَبَادَرُوا إِلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ Whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, they would listen and they would obey. They were willing to give their life for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were willing to give their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. لَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam مُعْجِزَةٌ إِلَّا أَصْحَابُهُ لَكَفَوْهُ لِإِثْبَاتِ نُبُوَّتِهِ The ulama explained that hypothetically, if we were to assume for a moment that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had There was no other miracles and mu'jizas, even though Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had so much. Allama Suyuti mentions a whole kitab on the miracles of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But hypothetically, for a moment, just put all of those miracles on one side, on hold. If it, only the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were a sufficient miracle to prove the nubuwat and the truthfulness of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at Ahzab, the incident of Khandaq, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes the Sahaba and they make mashwara because now the kuffar, they have allied against the Muslims and now they're going to come and attack Medina, all the tribes of Yahud. Mashwara is made that we have to make a trench. The benefit of the trench will be that they will not be able to cross from one side and come into our side. And we have to make it so wide that no horses can jump over. And we have to dig it so deep that if no one can just climb up again also. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they begin digging. And it was difficult times. Weather was cold. There's no food, no water to drink, hardly enough clothes on their body. But despite all of that, it was the hukum of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were willing to do anything to fulfill the hukum of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was that occasion where the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, out of extreme hunger, they had to tie stones on their stomach. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself also tied stones. He had two stones, whereas everyone else had one stone. And he showed them that, look, I'm also in this situation. And they're all digging together. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself also participated. Just imagine that scene, how beautiful. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite all the difficulties, they're all working together, digging together. It's cold, no food, no water to drink, hardly enough clothes, the enemies right there. But still in this situation, in this condition, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they are singing poetry. Ash'ar are flowing out from their lips. And poetry is something we understand that, you know, you can do it when you're relaxed, you're comfortable, you know, you're in peace. Now poetry can come to your mind. But Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in this type of situation, why? Because no matter what, their hearts were at peace. They had that sukoon in their heart. So what are they saying? نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِيْنَا أَبَدًا They're digging, despite all of these hard conditions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together, they're singing these ash'ar and poetry. نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِيْنَا أَبَدًا That we have given our hand in the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we made bayat. So therefore, we will remain in this path until our very last moment. Nothing can stop us. We're going to remain in this path. We're dedicated. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives jawab in poetry form also. He gives them a reply in Ash'ar form also. Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhira. Faghfiri al-amsara wal-muhajira. Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhira. Faghfiri al-amsara wal-muhajira. Oh Allah, forgive my sahaba. Oh Allah, forgive the ansar, forgive the muhajir. What is the life of this dunya? La aisha illa aishul akhira. Little bit of hunger, little bit of hardship, little bit of cold weather. The real life is the life of the akhir. My sahaba radiallahu anhum, they're sacrificing in this dunya so much, so much, so much to Allah. In return of this, give them Jannah. Give them the food of Jannah, the clothes of Jannah, the comfort of Jannah, the luxuries of Jannah, the bounties of Jannah. That's the true life. Forgive my sahaba. We can go on and on, but time is up. We've exceeded the time. I'd just like to say this much at the end. Our principal, Maulana Abdul Hamid Sabdan Barakatuhum, would always say that always make dua for four things. And we conclude with this. Number one, make dua and have niyat that, oh Allah, give me the knowledge and ilm of every single sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. First, number one, make dua that, oh Allah, give me the ilm and the knowledge of every single sunnah. First dua. Second dua, oh Allah, give me the love for every single sunnah. Right? First, we need to know about the sunnah. If we don't know about the sunnah, then how will it come into our life? If we don't know that the miswak is a sunnah, then we'll never use the miswak. So first is the ilm and knowledge. We have to know about it. So Allah, subhan, give me the ilm and the knowledge or facilitate for me that I can know about the sunnah. That's one. Then it's not sufficient just to know. But we also have to have love for it. So Allah, give me the love for each and every single sunnah, that we don't look down upon any sunnah. No, this is just a sunnah. It's a small sunnah. No, extreme love for every sunnah. The third point he says, make dua that, oh Allah, give me the tawfiq to make amal on every single sunnah. Because to know and just to love also is not sufficient. You have to complete the package by making amal and bringing it into our life. And the fourth dua, he would say that, oh Allah, make dua that, oh Allah, give me the tawfiq to spread and convey the sunnah to the masses. Oh Allah, give me full ilm of every single sunnah. Oh Allah, give me the love for every single sunnah. Oh Allah, give me the tawfiq to make amal on sunnah. And finally, give me the tawfiq to spread and give da'wat of the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the masses. Why? Every single sunnah is ashal, ajmal, and akmal. When we will do something in the sunnah method, it was ashal. The easiest way to do something is in the sunnah way. When you do a nikah, a marriage, do it the sunnah way. It's going to be the easiest one. No complications. It is ajmal. It's the most beautiful way of doing something is to do it the sunnah way. And akmal, it is the most perfect and complete way of doing something. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly grant myself the tawfiq to inculcate true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to bring sunnah into my life and give me the tawfiq to convey the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the masses. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullah khair for giving us this chance and opportunity to speak about the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept my coming and the coming of everyone and make it a means of our hidayah. Jazakumullah khair. اللهم آمين اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك الملك كله بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. رب اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات يوم يقوم الحساب. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدين والدنيا والآخرة. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار. اللهم أجرنا وخلصنا من النار. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين.
Inspirational words. May Allah to allow us to inculcate love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam into our hearts, the knowledge of His Sunnah, the love of His Sunnah, the practice of His Sunnah, and give us the tawfiq to spread His Sunnah. Ameen. We would like to remind everyone that we have our various programs at the Madrasa, at the Masjid. Every Wednesday, alhamdulillah, recently we started every Wednesday night. We have tafsir in Bangla. We request all to participate in that as well. Every Saturday night, we have English tafsir. We request everyone to participate in that. We also have a bi-weekly sisters program. The next session will be the upcoming Saturday evening, inshallah. And the next monthly program will be in the first week of January, inshallah, first Saturday of January. And we would like to request everyone to stay for dinner. Now, inshallah, we'll be having dinner. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.